deal with us according to your mercy, and that by your statutes, your judgments, and your laws, you would teach us. Give us wisdom and help us to grow. Please be seated. I am the oldest of four sons that were born to my parents. Me and my three brothers were all, which means that we were all teenagers at the same time. And I look back and I marvel at how much we ate. My brothers and I are all sort of big, strapping guys. And we ate prodigious amounts of food. I wonder how many hamburgers we ate, how many slabs of bacon, how many loaves of bread. And something I never thought about when I was a kid, I wonder how much all that stuff cost. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Thousands of dollars, probably hundreds. 20 years of a child's life, not to mention medical, not to mention educational supplies, not to mention sports equipment, all the other things parents provide their children with. But we know that as Christian parents, just simply putting meals on the table and taking your child to the doctor or buying medicine is not sufficient. It is not enough, and it is necessary. The Bible calls us to provide physically for those in our household, but there is so much more that is required. We know that our children need to be fed. They need the food on the table, but we also know that the food that they need is the food of life, the food of spiritual life, the food of Christian discipleship and covenant faithfulness, the Word of God, and the words of teaching and admonition and instruction. God has designed Christian homes to provide for the physical being of our children, but also that they would know the Christian faith. He has given our children to us to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And our God uses means to accomplish that end. He uses mothers and fathers to produce this. And this is not done simply once a week when we drag them to church. It's not done on special occasions like Christmas or Thanksgiving when we decide to get out the Bible and read together. Just as you would not, mothers, serve a large meal to your family and tell them, well, that's it for this week. You know, sometimes after eating a large meal, we feel like we couldn't eat another meal for a long time, but we always do. We always do. Our body needs that nourishment and that food. And so the spiritual nourishment and the instruction in the Word of God that we are to give our children is a constant work, a constant ministry, something that must pervade our homes, something that must be the very atmosphere that our children breathe as they grow. When we last met, which I can't even remember when that was, we looked at the first verses of Ephesians 6, which are instructions to children. And that sermon was directed specifically to the children of our congregation. Specifically, their duties to obey and to honor their mothers and their fathers. And now Paul, in speaking to the whole congregation, of which the children are a part, he now turns his attention to fathers and to mothers as well, to the parents, speaking from their perspective of what their duties are to be. The Bible tells us much about raising children, but it does not simply give us. I want you to remember this because it is so important as you think about the daily, consistent labor of children. Paul is still speaking to the church of Ephesus about being filled with the Spirit. He has not in one section of his letter talked about the work of and our need to walk in the Spirit, our need to constantly be filled with that Spirit and live a life pleasing. At the end of the letter, oh, here are some various other things. All the same section that began back in chapter 5. It is all part of the same section that began in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And how are you to be filled with the Spirit? As he tells us, speak. And praise. And then as he says, thanks to the Lord always. Being filled with the Spirit then means wives submitting to your husbands. And of the church. Being filled with the Spirit means children, you will obey mother and father. And it means parents, you will also carry out your responsibilities for the love of Christ. As evidence that the Spirit is in your life, in your home. You see, it's not simply principles tacked on to the end of the letter. It is what it means to be a Christian, to love your children, to teach them, and to discipline them in the fear of God. And that's what we will look at this morning, and that's what we will consider. You'll notice in verse 4, first of all, that even after Paul has quoted the commandment which tells children to honor father and mother, specifically, when he speaks to parents, addresses fathers. He says in verse 4, and you fathers provoke your children. Paul speaks specifically to fathers. I believe he's also speaking to mothers. But there is a reason why he addresses the father. It is today where the wife has responsibility for the kids. Her domain, that's her responsibility. The husband is not to be bothered. He's not to be disturbed. That's not what the Word of God teaches. He is to take the lead in teaching, in the discipline, and direct her into in that work as well. And of course, this is a light. Child, the son of Solomon. And so child is not confused where he's thinking, well, I have to do this to please father, and I have to do this to please mother. Mother, she'll say no, but father, he'll very clear points. word that everything. And by being nitpicked, warned not to do it. He says, do not provoke. Thank you. grandchildren have the privilege of taking. If you turn